The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 18, text number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on October 25th, 2009, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
So today we are blessed with the most auspicious of all opportunities to study Srimad Bhagavatam, given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Pad. Chapter number 18, Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmin boy, text number 5.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tavat Kalirna Pravavet Pravishto Piyasarvata Yavadisho Mahan Urviam Abhiman Yava Ekarat Tavat Kalirna Prabhavet Pravishto Pia Sarvata Yavadisho Mahan Urviam Abhimanyava Ekarat.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. Purport. As we have already explained, the personality of Kali had entered the jurisdiction of this earth long ago, and he was looking for an opportunity to spread his influence all over the world. But he could not do so satisfactorily due to the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. That is the way of good government. The disturbing elements like the personality of Kali will always try to extend their nefarious activities. But it is the duty of the able state to check them by all means. Although Maharaj Parikshit allotted places for the personality of Kali, at the same time he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by the personality of Kali.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sa Gagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So we have a major problem going on here.
A major, major problem.
The personality of Kali has taken over the world. It's a very heavy situation.
Very heavy.
Parikshit Maharaj is not here to curb down his influence. What to do?
It's very heavy. Very, very heavy situation.
The whole population of this planet has been captivated by Kali's influence.
Everyone is suffering because of it. It's a horrible thing. Horrible, horrible thing. Very horrible situation.
That is the whole purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. To rescue the people from Kali's influence. They've been kidnapped. They've been hijacked by Kali. You understand? So we have been somehow picked. We have been chosen to assist Srila Prabhupada somehow or other, even though we were also under Kali's influence. Somehow that we were very fortunate persons. We were chosen to be agents of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Srila Prabhupada and his servants. Somehow or other. So just try to understand the significance of our duties. Millions and billions of people are suffering like anything. Completely spoiling their human lives, being dragged down by Kali's influence to the animal kingdom in their next life. So we have to save them. That means we must become qualified first. We have to save ourselves first. As George Harrison said when he was interviewed by Mukunda Maharaj, he said, you first have to become, in one sense, first of all, you have to become selfish to become selfless. The first thing we have to do is to focus on ourselves, you see, to get ourselves out of the influence of Kali. We have to become clean. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, to clean up our lives. You see. And instead of absorbing ourselves in Kali's program, we have to absorb ourselves in Krishna's program by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, as much as possible. 24 hours a day, as much as possible, the more the better, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. By this chanting, you see, we will become enchanted by Krishna. Actually, this Maha Mantra is, the sound of the Maha Mantra is non-different from the sound of Krishna's flute. The most enchanting sound vibration in all of existence is the sound of Krishna's flute. And this Hare Krishna Mantra is non-different from that sound vibration. So, if we can become enchanted by the chanting, of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the king of all mantras. Then we will be brought out of the influence of Kali's spell. Kali has put us under his spell. We will be brought out of the influence of that spell of Kali. And then we can do some good service to help other people out of the spell of Kali. Prabhupada mentions here the government is the duty of the able state to check them by all means, the disturbing elements, you see, like the personality of Kali. So what is the position of the present-day governments on this planet? They are simply nonsense. Simply nonsense. They are agents of Kali. They are meant to protect the citizens from Kali, but instead they are the very agents of Kali. They are promoting Kali. What rascal governments. So we have to take over the government also. Not by guns. We will lose. If we try to take over by guns, they will defeat us. You see. But by, you see, Lord Chaitanya also, he first of all wanted to use weapon to defeat Kali's influence. That was his first reaction to the offenses of Jagai and Madai. Kill the rascals. Yeah, kill them. Is the first reaction of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Nityananda warned him, my Lord, or he reminded him, my dear Lord, this you're the most magnanimous. You're the merciful, the mercy manifestation. In this age, if you kill these, Jagai Madai, everyone's Jagai Madai caste, you see. Everyone's the Jagai Madai caste in this age. If you kill these Jagai Madai, you have to kill all the Jagai Madai. So better you forgive them, Lord Chaitanya, and accept them. Give your mercy to them. So Lord Chaitanya agreed, yes. So, in the same mood of Lord Nityananda, our agenda for taking the government is by capturing the hearts of the people. By prasadam, by the holy names, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, you see. We want to attract everyone to Krishna consciousness. This is our mission. And then we can take the government, you see. When they go to the voting booth, you see, when the voters go to the voting booth and they just only want to know who is Hare Krishna and who isn't. You see, Hare Krishna gets my vote. Non-Hare Krishna, forget it. You see, that's how we will capture the government. We have to educate the electorate. We have to inspire and attract the electorate through preaching Krishna consciousness very enthusiastically and very mercifully to everyone that we meet. You see? And then they will vote. I only want to vote for Hare Krishna. Even if they're not devotees, still they say, no, I only vote Hare Krishna. <That's all. clears throat> Then we can capture the government. You see, then we can... Actually, it's a very important thing. We have to capture the government. That's how Lord Buddha was successful. He had some success promoting his Buddhist movement, you see. But when the emperor became Buddhist, that was it, finished. You see. Similarly, in Christianity, it was a little tiny movement until the Roman emperor became Christian. You see. Then it became big time established. So we do want to do that. We do want to capture the government. That the day will come, as Prabhupada said, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Sakura said, that when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we are successful. So we want to see that day, you see. Now, actually, that be, you know, they get up in the morning before they go to the court, Om Keshavaya Namaha, you see, the high court judges. They will all chant that mantra before they go to the court, Om Keshavaya Namaha. So, but in the meantime, what to do? Well, we have to work towards that day. You see, that day when the whole world will become Krishna conscious. We have to work towards that day. By, first of all, seeing that we ourselves are properly fixed in Krishna consciousness. First business. Am I strictly following the rules? Am I rising early? Am I chanting nicely, 16 rounds minimum every day? Am I taking only prasadam? You see? I have to see that I am fixed property in Krishna consciousness. That's the most powerful thing. If one is purely chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you see, that devotee who is purely chanting, Prabhupada says an amazing thing about him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. It's absolutely amazing. It never ceases to amaze me every time I consider this purport of Srila Prabhupada. In this purport, he explains that when a devotee chants the holy name, Hare Krishna Mantra, without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the entire world will take up Krishna consciousness. So this means whatever that every one of us has the opportunity to have a very powerful impact on the consciousness of this planet just by how we chant our japa. Can you imagine? You can actually save the world by good round. Just think about it. Every time you pick up your bead bag, that if I can master the art of pure chanting, then I can actually save the world. You see, Prabhupada says it. It's inconceivable, you know, but to us, but Prabhupada says it. It must be true. Prabhupada wouldn't lie to us just to try to get us to chant good rounds. He's telling the truth. That if I can chant, any devotee who can chant good rounds, can chant perfect rounds, you see, who becomes fixed in Shuddhanam, pure offenseless chanting, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So, in this movement, we should have thousands of Jagat Gurus, as described by Prabhupada. That we should have. Thousands of pure chanters. Who are, what does that mean? It means they're purely transmitting the Shakti of Prabhupada. It's all Prabhupada's doing. We're just little instruments. But that means that Prabhupada's full Shakti will come through any devotee, any follower, disciple, grand disciple. Prabhupada's Shakti will come through any follower of Srila Prabhupada who is purely, his full Jagadguru Shakti will come through any and all devotees who are purely chanting the holy names. So, and the nice thing about it is it's ecstatic. When we can actually purely chant the name, we'll just become ecstatic. It's like a volcano of bhakti, you know, erupting in all directions. Anyone who can become absorbed in pure, in Shuddhanam, you see, they just become like a walking, talking, transcendental volcano of bhakti, of Krishna prema, spewing the lava of Prabhupada's mercy, you know, everywhere. So it's really worth it to focus on chanting pure japa. It's really worth it. Really, really worth it. To strive for pure bhakti. Sometimes in ISKCON we get our priorities a little bit off the track. I remember one time I was inspired to give a seminar at the Festival of Inspiration. And I told them, I would like to do one pure devotional service. They said, no, we don't want it. I went, what? They don't want pure devotional service. They said, but I'm known for being the internet guru. You know, for, I got 10,000 people I'm cultivating on the internet. So you can do one on internet. Yes, we'd like you to do one on internet, Sankarshan Prabhu, but not pure devotional service. I mean, you can learn how to do the, you can go to any karmi and learn how to manipulate the internet. It's not a big deal, you know. You can get books on how to use the internet. There are a dime a dozen in the marketplace on Amazon.com, you know. How to market through the internet. It's not a big deal, you know. So I said, well, what to do? They won't let me do pure devotional service. My goodness. What to do? Then I got an inspiration. I said, I'll make a deal with you, Prabhu. If you let me do pure devotional service, then I will also do internet. And they said, oh, okay. And guess which seminar was more popular with the devotees? Pure devotional service. Why did we join ISKCON? For internet? Did I learn join ISKCON to learn how to manipulate the internet? No. Of course, when I joined, it didn't even exist. There was no internet. But you get the point. We joined ISKCON because ISKCON has something that nobody else is presenting, and that's pure devotional service. You see? The Christians aren't presenting it. The Jews, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Jains, they're not presenting pure devotional service. They're presenting karma mishra bhakti. They go to the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, and they say, God, give me this, God, give me that. Just like that song, you know that song? The Hindus sing, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You've heard that song, yeah. In every religion, this rascalism is going on, you see. I'm not picking on the Hindu. Every religion is doing the same damn nonsense. They're approaching God, give me this, give me that. I was trained as a Christian boy, I was trained that way. When I was a little kid, I remember. I had a desire for cowboy boots. It's a bad desire, they're made out of leather. But I didn't know better at the time. I was thinking I wanted, so my parents said, Stevie, you should pray every day to God to please give you cowboy boots for Christmas. So I did that. Dear God, please give me cowboy boots for Christmas. And sure enough, there they were under the Christmas tree on Christmas. My cowboy boots. Oh, they wanted to teach me to believe in God, you see. My parents wanted me to be a God-fearing little tyke. So they taught me to believe in God by having me pray for cowboy boots and making sure I had my cowboy boots under the Christmas tree. You see? But is that God consciousness? No, that's cowboy boot consciousness. That's nonsense, you see. So in every religion, they are approaching God, give me this, give me that. They got their shopping list, you know. A mile-long shopping list. Everything they want God to give them. And if God doesn't give, well, I'll teach him a good lesson and I'll become an atheist if he doesn't give me what I want. That happened in Germany. Prabhupada gave the example. All those German ladies, you know. Hitler, at the very end, Hitler was throwing every male body out there on the battlefield. And they were getting decimated by the Allies. It was heavy, heavy scene. Every, you know, the grandfathers, the fathers, the nephews, the uncles, the brothers, the husbands, all the men were being put on the battlefield and being decimated by the Allies as they took over, as they wiped out the Nazis, you know. So all the women were in the churches praying, oh, dear God, please bring back my father, my grandfather, my brother, my husband, my son, please bring them back. And they didn't come back. So after the war, those ladies became atheists, you see. Because they prayed for their father, grandfather, brother, husbands, etc., sons to come back, and they didn't come back. So, this is the caliber of God consciousness we're seeing on this planet right now, so-called God consciousness. I mean, it's better than atheism, but it's not that much better than atheism, to be honest. It's a little bit better than atheism. It's just a hair above atheism. They're approaching God to fulfill their material desires. So the same disease that the atheists have of being selfish, the God-conscious people have the same disease of being selfish. You see, selfishness is the cause of misery. In fact, selfishness or miserliness, miserly misery, you can see the connection in English between miserliness and misery. They are one and the same. Miser means miserable. Miserable means miser. So as long as one is selfish, one must be miserable. You cannot be ecstatic when you are selfish. It's impossible to be ecstatic. You can be happy, a little bit of happiness, but you can't actually taste ecstasy. As long as you're selfish, it's not possible. Not possible. So we have to enter into that wonderful consciousness known as selflessness, pure Krishna bhakti, selflessness. You see, pure, perfect selflessness is pure Krishna bhakti. The Mayavadis try to cultivate selflessness by denying the self. But that doesn't work because the self cannot be annihilated. They think to get rid of self, they understand selfishness is the root of all misery. The Mayavadis understand that too. But they foolishly try to annihilate it by just annihilating the self. You see, it's like going to the doctor, oh, doctor, I got a headache. What am I going to do? Well, I'll cut off your head. That's the Mayavadi thing. You go to the doctor with a headache, he says, okay, I'll just cut off your head, then you won't have a headache anymore. So that's the Mayavadi solution for selfishness. Just annihilate the self, you see. But no. Real selflessness is when you develop a loving relationship with that person who is the source of all existence. That supreme person, that supreme all-attractive, you see. All-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality known as Madan Mohan, Krishna, you see. Who's standing here and blessing us with his divine presence. So that's how we achieve pure selflessness, by reestablishing that lost loving relationship with that person who is the very source of our existence at every minute. We only exist by dint of the fact that Krishna is emanating us from himself. We have no independent existence. Are you self-manifested? No. We're not self-manifested. We are Krishna-manifested. We are the manifestations of Krishna. To expand his enjoyment, he has emanated us from himself so that he can have an infinite number of loving relationships with an infinite number of varieties of personality types. You ever wonder why everybody's different? I know two people are the same. Krishna arranged it like that so he could have unlimited varieties. How would you like to sit down at a feast and have 30 different preps? Wow, 30 preps. But you look at it, there's 30 different katoris on the big platter, right? You get all excited. Wow, 30 katoris. But you look at it and each prep is exactly the same. Well, there's, you know, we got strawberry halva in this one and strawberry halva in this one. 30 different katoris of strawberry halva. Would you be equally enlivened as your original? Would you like to have 30 different preps or 30 different katoris of strawberry halva? It's obvious. 30 different preps is much more enlivening than 30 katoris of strawberry halva. I mean, one katori of strawberry halva, that'd be great. But 30 of them? I mean, give me some variety, you see. So therefore, Krishna has manifested from himself an infinite variety of personalities who are all different. There's no two persons who are exactly alike, because Krishna wants to enjoy a unique rasa or flavor with each one of those infinite number of jivas that he's manifesting from himself. So you have a purpose for existing. You can give a type of happiness to Krishna, a certain flavor of rasa or relationship to Krishna that nobody else in the whole existence can do. You see, that's why you exist as an individual. So the Mayavadis miss out on all that. They just want to deny it. Neti, 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 neti. They really miss out. Poor fools. They miss out on it, you see. But, you know, this idea of denying, neti, neti, not this, not this. If you look at it philosophically, and this is a realization I had that helped me come to Krishna consciousness, because I was formerly a Mayavadi philosopher. I was denying. In fact, I was on my way, just like Radhanath Swami went and became a sadhu in India. I was on my way, actually, to India to become a sadhu in India, a mendicant. But on the way, I had this realization, because I was denying everything, neti, 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 just become a sadhu in India, because it's neti, 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 neti. But then I had this realization, I got a shortcut. I didn't have to go through the whole thing. You know. Then a shortcut came, because I realized My realization was this. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer, and then I had to start accepting. In other words, if you take this philosophy of neti, 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 which is a hatchet chopping away at everything, you see, denying everything, then what do you have to do eventually? You've denied everything, everything, but now there's only one thing left to deny, and that's you've denied everything else. And what is that one last thing to deny? That's the act of denial. Finally, you've denied everything. You've absolutely denied everything you possibly can. There's only one thing left that you have, and that's denial itself, and that has to be denied. So I had that realization. I don't need to become an Indian sadhu. And then a voice inside said, go to San Francisco. And I went there, and there they were in Golden Gate Park. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I got my short cut. Instead of having to go the long route, you know, like this, I just went straight. I got the, immediately, so I reverted. Instead of going east to New York, I was going to get a job on a freighter and go to India. I turned around and went to San Francisco. And I got that realization. I went the opposite direction, San Francisco. 518 Frederick Street, the second center of our society. So, it's a glorious process, this Krishna consciousness process. It brings us out of all of the illusion, confusion, delusion. It brings about the most amazing transfusion of consciousness that you could ever conceive of, beyond what you conceive of in your wildest dreams, actually. The most amazing transfusion of consciousness into a life which is inconceivably blissful, inconceivably enlightened, inconceivably brightened with transcendental realization. Gyanena tutara gyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham madicham vajugyanam prakashayati tatpadam. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Bhagavad Gita. So, it's waiting for us, Prabhu Zamanajis, it's waiting for us. This Krishna consciousness process is waiting for us to dive into it completely. And to say goodbye once and for all to that rascal Kali. Once and for all. Kick him out. And don't let him come back in again. You understand? Yeah. So I can ask if there's any questions now. Oh, on today's verse? Today's verse again?
Yes.
Okay. As long as the... as long as the great powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. So what to do when that personality is not you? Well, we have to make our movement so strong that the personality of Kali cannot flourish. That's what we have to do now, you see. That's our mission. Parikshit Maharaj is not here. So now we have to make ISKCON so powerful, so predominant, so influential that the personality of Kali will be finished. You'll have to shave up and put on tilak, join the Bhakta program. Bhakta Kali. That'd be great if he joined, isn't it? Get Bhakta Kali and join the Bhakta program. See, Parikshit gave places of residence. Well, we don't want to give him any residence. We want him to join the movement. Chant and dance. Hare Krishna. Come on, Kali. Come and chant with us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's our invitation of the personality of Kali. Come and take prasadam, Kali. Come and chant and dance with us. Come and get Prabhupada's mercy, Kali. That's our invitation. You see. Anything else? It means our chanting isn't pure enough. If the cheaters are flourishing on this planet, it means our chanting is not pure enough. That's what it means. Yeah, but that means you're inviting Kali to join on his terms. Come on, Kali, join ISKCON. You can have illicit sex. You know. You can make a show of being a devotee, but have illicit sex on the side, you know, have a little intoxication. No. Popularizing ISKCON by allowing people to come in and break the principles is not expanding ISKCON, it's killing ISKCON. You understand? You're not doing it Prabhupada a favor, ISKCON a favor, by expanding it in a polluted fashion. You understand?
Yeah.
It's not that by watering down the process you're doing anybody a favor. Making it easy for everybody to join. Come on in, you know. You don't have to follow these principles. Of course, on one level, yes, everyone is welcome to come without following the principle. That's a thing. But for initiation, you see, that's where we draw the line. Everybody is welcome. Everyone's welcome to come and take prasadam here and render service. Everyone's welcome. We don't care how polluted or deluded they may be. We were certainly deluded and polluted, and we still are to a certain extent. So we open our hearts to everyone. Come and associate, chant, take prasadam in this way. We're open to everyone. But for initiation, there we have to draw the line. That's where we have to draw the line. Yeah, it's just sometimes discouraging. We do see other Vaishnava groups who do water it down, that you can have illicit sex within marriage, it's okay. We do see other Vaishnava groups who water it down like anything, and they get big followings very easily. But I can tell you they're not going to last. They won't have the longevity. This movement will end. This movement will go on for 10,000 years. They won't. They won't go on. This movement will be successful while others will fall by the wayside. Because we're sticking tightly to Prabhupada's instructions, you see. That will make this movement will outlive the other, the Sahaja Vaishnavas who, you know, can quickly gain cheap followers. They will not live. They will not live. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe not all the principles, mm-hmm. but at least they start chanting and become vegetarian or
mm-hmm.
get the principles yeah. better. And next life, they become
sure.
a devotee and become a devotee more strict.
Yeah, there's so many stepping stones. It's like I saw a vegetarian restaurant over here when we came in. There are many people can, there's many, anything that helps them to come closer to Krishna consciousness is good. So in that sense, it's the rise of other Vaishnava, you know, even though they may be Sahaja, in some ways it's good. some ways it's good. I mean, we have such a Sahaja Vaishnava temple in Austin. At least they hear the idea of being devoted to Krishna is there. Of course, they mix Mayavadi philosophy in with it. They say Krishna is the supreme, Ram is the supreme, Shiva is the supreme, and Durga is the supreme, and they call themselves Vaishnavas. They call themselves Raganuga Vaishnavas. And they say that Durga is also the supreme personality of Godhead. So it's really mixed up, you see. So there's some benefit that they're bowing down to Krishna. There is benefit. There's no doubt. But they're getting a lot of misinformation along with it. So it could help, or it could go either way. I mean, if you consider the typical, Prabhupada was not able, just like in India, the idea of being devoted to Krishna is there, but it's all mixed in with so many other concepts. So who was able to join this movement in the beginning? The Hindus were not joining. But Prabhupada started with these Western boys and girls, the countercultural renegades, and they were not polluted by all this misinformation. So in one sense, yes, in the other sense, no. I see the truth of what you're saying, but there's both sides to the. If they're getting misinformation, in some ways they're like the Hindus, who wouldn't join this movement in the early days, you see. But you said the next life, so that gives a lot of, that opens up a whole other realm of possibilities. Because when you say the next life, it does make open a whole new realm, because the fact is whatever good they have, that will, you know, whatever attraction they got to the idea of Krishna, that will go with them. And the other things will be forgotten. So when you bring in the idea of the next life, then it does bring a ray of hope for them. But in this lifetime, they get caught up in the other organization. It's difficult. Just like these people in Austin, they're being told that japa is wrong. Is it? They even take their Swami even takes the Shikshastakam. He wrote a book on the Shikshastakam. And in that book he says, but Lord, you know how we have that one verse, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. So he says that means japa you shouldn't chant japa. he squeezes that kind of meaning out of it. You can't say it has to be done in a regulated way because there's no hard and fast rule. Therefore, regulated way is the wrong way of chanting. Japa is wrong because it's regulated. And Lord Chaitanya said no rules and regulations. I mean, this person, when he first came to Braj Mandal, he was from some place of India, and he saw everyone's chanting japa, and he said, oh, this is crazy. Why are they chanting japa? Then he had his so-called realization for Radharani, and he left Vrindavan and came out to spread, Raganuga Bhakti all over the world. You see? So his people are being trained that japa is wrong, that ISKCON is wrong because we chant japa. We're stupid people. We're less intelligent. You know, sadhana bhaktas, lower level sadhana bhaktas. So in this lifetime, it will be difficult if they're attached to that dogmatic idea that japa is wrong. It'll be difficult for them to take it up. Although next life, there's some hope. Yeah.
Also, I've heard somebody say, if you follow Jesus, of course, you know, they don't always follow Jesus properly, they still eat meat, whatever, but if they seriously follow Jesus, Jesus will guide them to Krishna in the next life. He has a planet where they can go, and he will guide them to Krishna.
What's this? I can't.
If you go somewhere in the
Jesus?
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, actually, if one follows Jesus with full sincerity, he will become Krishna conscious.
Yeah, Jesus will guide them to Krishna.
That happened to me. I came, my final coming to Krishna consciousness, what finally pushed me over the edge was Jesus. I was reading the Bible. I had chanted with the devotees and all that, but I still had this Mayavadi dirt sitting in my heart. But I finally came to the point where I was studying the Bible and praying to the Supreme Person that I could become like Jesus, a person fully surrendered under the will of the Lord. And then Vishnu Janmaya showed up in town, and Krishna answered my prayer by sending Vishnu Janaswami to Asta. So yeah, I was meditating on Jesus as a perfect spiritual being, wanting to develop that same Christ consciousness, knowing that would be the perfection of my existence. And then, and not seeing it in the Christian church, I didn't find any Christians who actually could tell me how to be Christ conscious. But I found that Prabhupada was teaching how to be Christ conscious. I had that faith in Christ, and I wanted to be like Christ, but no Christian could teach me how to do that, but Prabhupada could. That's why I became a devotee. Now, I tell Christians this, it just blows their mind, you know, it defeats them. It says, but you have to accept Jesus. Well, I did. That's why I'm here. Hare Krishna. It blows. They don't know how to deal with me when I tell them that. It just completely defeats them. But Jesus brought me here.
It's interesting. I have a friend. He has the same. A friend of mine. He's thinking also. He wants to become like Jesus, and he also came here, and he also kind of like
him. What's she saying? Yeah.
Well,
yeah. 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 I mean, this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada is teaching how to be a perfect Christian, a perfect Jew, a perfect Buddhist, a perfect Sikh, a perfect Jain, everything. Prabhupada is teaching the science of bhakti. This is not another religion. People say, well, why did you join this religion? I didn't join this religion. This is not a religion. This is not a religion. Remember, this is not a religion. This is religion. It's a big difference. A religion means there's a big list. Here's one of the many religions. But religion means the pure essence of the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Being. That is real religion, real dharma. And we are teaching here the science of religion, which is equally applicable to Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Muslims, anyone and everyone. How to become a perfect Sikh, a perfect Muslim, a perfect Jew, a perfect Christian, etc., by the science of bhakti is explained in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not presenting another religion. We are presenting the essence of religion. So tonight I will give a lecture. I've been asked to give a logic. Tonight we will establish the philosophy of Krishna consciousness simply based on logic with no shastra. Not depending on shastra, simply on the basis of logic, pure logic and philosophy, we will establish the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And then we will show how this logic is confirmed in the scriptures. That will be tonight's lecture, the logic of Krishna consciousness. The logical basis of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so we thank you everyone very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.